right? Well, or that was the foxhole one.
That was the foxhole one.
This amateur radio roundtable is brought to you in part by ICOM America.
Hello.
Are we live?
Of course we are.
Oh, well, I'm looking at Glenn. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the amateur radio roundtable. The guys here had me, you know, they were distracting me before we got the show started live. So you guys have been successful in your attempt to mess with me. So it is Tuesday, June 23rd. I am Katie, WY7YL, here with my compatriots of Glenn, KW5GP, and Dave, KE0OG, Bill, WB8ELK, and of course, the man himself, Tom Medlin, W5KUB. We are simulcast on WBCQ, which is 5130. So if you're out there listening on shortwave, send Tom a note at tom@w5kub. Let him know our signal report and where you're listening from. If you're out there on social media, Facebook, do join our group. We're at w5kub.com. And we've got a ton of people on there and a lot of fun discussions to be had, and it's just a really nice group to belong to and talk ham radio stuff. And let's see, what else am I supposed to talk about, Tom? I forgot now. See this? I told you guys, you put me on the spot here.
Pretty good.
Well, of course, the Amateur Radio Roundtable is on Facebook, and we're live streaming here on W5KUB.com as well as YouTube. And please do subscribe to the channel and check out any past shows on YouTube. There's a lot of fun things that we talk about, and looking forward to seeing what we're going to talk about tonight. So with that, I'm going to send it back to the man himself, Mr. Tom Medlin, W5KUB. Woo-hoo, we need the applause sound.
Woo-hoo. All right. Well, thank you so much for that. And you don't know what we're going to do on the show tonight, but we'll figure it out, I guess, as we go.
Yeah, I just showed up, you know.
Yeah, okay. So, hey.
I think we're all kind of clueless tonight.
Yeah, that's nothing new.
Oh, you did really good. In fact, you threw some new things in here, which I thought were pretty good.
I hope I was correct in what I said, at least.
I'm going to have to go back and look at the video and see what all you did. We'll make that a part of the show. Okay.
There you go.
So, hey, let me make one quick announcement, guys. W5KUB-18 should wake up any minute. So right in the middle of the show, I like to be right on top of this thing. So if you guys can watch Whisper, the last update this morning was at 1330 UTC. So put W5KUB in on Whisper and watch it. And if that time changes from 1330, let us know in the chat room. I'm guessing we're going to be close to China tonight, and we'll talk more about that a little later. And a little later, too, I'm going to talk about 6 meters. 6 meters is starting to get pretty active, and I've got three or four different very simple antennas that you can put together and build for 6 meters. All right. If you are listening on shortwave and you do have internet, you can tune in to the internet show and watch us live and check in the chat room. Just go to W5KUB.com. Let's see what's going on out in the world out there. We've heard from Katie, but let's just jump back here to Katie again. Katie, so what have you been up to, Katie?
Well, let's see. You know, I am actually kind of excited. I got a Yaesu FT70. I wanted to try out, of course, just having a new handheld for local stuff, but I really wanted to get on and try the Yaesu System Fusion. And I played around with a ZumSpot, took me a few tries and, you know, and errors, which was fine because it's a great learning process. But I'm so excited because yesterday I finally made my first contact. So I was like, woohoo, I finally got this thing figured out. I did it on my own. I talked to actually Mark, my coworker down in Atlanta, KJ4VO, and I think it's Dave89Z. And then today during the day, I heard a Mike 4 call out. So I just quickly answered him, and I was pretty excited. So now it's time to try the Yaesu System Fusion, a DMR part of it. But I'm just excited because that was a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to playing around with that some more and checking out different rooms. But I've been pretty much hanging out in the, I think it's the America Link, it's called.
Yeah.
That seems to have the most traffic. But I know we have different, there's all kinds of different rooms and groups and all kinds of things. It's just, you know, I just don't have enough time in the day to investigate everything. But
well,
that's been
you,
kind of fun.
Could you show us again how you did that when you went woohoo?
No.
I didn't have the recording running it. There you go. Oh,
I know you're trying to grab a screenshot,
I'm
aren't you?
Some screenshots. Yeah. Okay. Well, very good. Hey, that sounds interesting. You know, we've got for the show, for our show, we have a DMR talk group for the show. We're just not using it, and somebody needs to tell me how to do this. I mean, do you guys want to have a talk group for the show, like for Amateur Radio Roundtable? I don't even remember what it is now. 319. I don't know what it was. I don't know.
There's so many rooms and groups and things. And I mean, and it's worldwide, which is really pretty cool. I found one that's like just a rag chew. And of course, you know, people do treat it like a regular repeater. So they, you know, people are always identifying. One thing I find really nice is that, you know, everybody's really nice. And some people have a short rag chew, just a brief one. I mean, you know, a lot of times people are just trying to find out if they're getting out into the system, but then they'll have a quick talk and they're like, all right, well, I don't want to tie up the room, and they move on, and then somebody else jumps in, and you can and the ZumSpot shows what's happening, which is really kind of cool. And then you can also watch the dashboard on your computer, the PiStar dashboard. And so, yeah, I'm really kind of excited. So I've been playing. That's something new for me and enjoying that. And Dwayne's been playing. He's over there. Are you on 6 meters tonight?
Yeah, but I'm not
having fun. Oh, he's on 6 meters. And I know that Tom's going to talk about that some more.
Yeah.
But and, of course, getting ready for field day. But we'll catch up on that in a little bit. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing.
All right. Dave, come in here and tell us what you did this week.
Well, hello, Tom. Good evening. Good evening to Katie and Glenn and Bill. And looks like we're going to have a great show tonight. I've been doing reviews this week. One of the items I'm reviewing is this little Radiodity FM-only radio, the GFIB. Usually their radios have DMR, but they sent me one that's just FM-only. But the one that's getting all of the attention that I'm doing this week is the My Antenna 80 through 10 NFED half-wave antenna that I put up, figured there was no way it would work, but it works beautifully. So I've done two videos on that so far and plan to do another video, hopefully this week, on that particular antenna. It's kind of designed for people who can't get it terribly high in the air. It seems to be easily tuned for that. The apex of, I've got it in an inverted V form, and the apex is only about 20 feet high. And the SWR across multiple bands all looks good or is within the range of the built-in tuner in my ICOM 7300. And just trying to keep on top of the channel here. Just went over 70,000 subscribers this week.
Oh, wow.
So a little bit of a milestone for me.
That's
and,
awesome.
And we'll turn it back to Ned here. Go ahead, Tom.
All right. Well, you know, I was Katie doesn't know this, but I was in a competition with Katie. And I was watching the QRZ count on her call and my call. And at one time, just a month or two ago, we were equal.
Really?
Equal. Now she's 20,000 ahead of me. I got to go back to Katie. What in the world did you do, Katie? Are you and Dwayne hitting enter or something? What's going on?
Ask him to look up mine.
Yeah, you should wait. You think mine's fun? You should see Dwayne's because he was on, you know. But I think it's just because I'm on YouTube a lot now for work. And, you know, with my Shack Chats I do on Friday. So I think people are looking me up more, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'm going to have to figure out something else to try to catch up. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dave, great. Hey, the Half Wave, we did one on a show here a while back. And the little Half Wave, it just amazes me. Martin said you ought to try one. You know, I did the 3/8. So I tried the half, and it's pretty good. Actually, mine is standing straight up. And I found out the half wave, you can make it horizontal, or you can put it at 45, or you can stand it straight up vertically. So I've got a 66-foot half wave standing straight up.
Yeah, the MFJ one I did a review on a couple of years ago. It works well as an inverted V as a portable antenna. You should have the rig within a few feet of the little box that's got the Allen in it. And then that worked in that configuration. I could pick the thing up, the box, and as I took it a foot or two up higher in the air, the SWR just went to pop. This one I've got connected to a pole about 7 feet high, and my piece of coax I use for all the experimental antennas is 50 feet long, so I just hooked it to this one and it worked fine. So I was really impressed with this antenna. It's kind of expensive, it's like $250. Uh-huh. And all of my hinting didn't get them to send me one, so I actually had to dip into channel funds here and buy it out of my own pocket. Of course, mm-hmm. When I buy it out of my own pocket, I feel absolutely free to say anything about it I want.
So. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Dwayne always says Hinton's a town in Georgia. Oh, West Virginia.
Absolutely.
I didn't do it.
Hey, what happened here? Your lights go out?
Yeah.
You must have said the keyword to turn the late lights off.
Or else
Google, turn it back on.
Or else you have a tornado 1 mile out down the road.
Huh?
Now they're in Wyoming.
Oh, I have it plugged up in the wrong spot. He's fixing it.
Okay.
Well, you want to turn the light back on?
All right. Well, let's.
Sorry, everybody.
We're still having a good light on you. There we go. There we go.
Yeah.
You
all right. Wait for that to
all
settle
right.
In.
So let's see. Let's jump down to, is it Mississippi or is it Mississippi? Let's go down to Glenn. Glenn, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine down here in Mississippi.
yeah.
Finally got 99% of the house stuff out of the way and starting to get the lab fired up, and I have just got a mountain of articles and other stuff to get rolling and get them out of here. But it's going to be fun being able to go with the new lab. I mean, it's been completely redone. I'm going to have to do a camera swing through over there for you at some point and show you all the new stuff and how it's laid out. But it's actually really functional now.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, I read an article the other day where Tennessee was boasting that they had internet first before Mississippi. They actually dug down like, 30 or 40 feet and hit some cables and identified them as internet, you know, cables. But then you guys down in Mississippi came back and I think you dug, 200 foot deep and didn't find nothing, right?
Right, and had wireless back then.
That proves that you had wireless. Yeah.
Yes. Let's put it this way. If it weren't for Mississippi, Tennessee would be number 50th in all the categories.
Maybe. I don't know, man. Don't know.
Yeah. Hey, at least, you know, we're going to be doing field day this year. A lot of the COVID restrictions have been lightened up to where even with an outdoor social event, we can have like 250 people, I think.
Yeah, that's good.
We're going to be out at the Olive Branch Park on field day. I'll probably be holding down 20 or 40 meters, whichever one's open at the time.
Well, I may try to swing by down there, but boy, I hope it's not as hot as it was last year.
Yeah, it's kind of a crapshoot. You don't know you're going to get too hot.
Yeah.
You're going to get buried in rain, thunderstorms. I remember that one year we had, 4 inches of water inside a pavilion that was on about a 3-foot high hill.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do the math on how bad it had to have rained.
All right. Well, Bill Brown down in Huntsville. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, doing good. I just came from another Zoom call. I gave a talk to the Winchester Pioneer Radio Club in Winchester, Kentucky, and had a good crowd there. And it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of good questions, and it was well attended. So these online talks and meetings for the radio clubs are really doing great. I'm really enjoying it. And it's a great way to stay in touch with your club members. And I've been reconnecting with my former radio clubs when I lived in Ohio. There was a group, the DARA group, has a Wednesday night meeting for their amateur television group. And they have all kinds of great topics, and it's well attended. And they have a Zoom conference every Wednesday. And they talk about equipment and things that antennas, you name it, they discuss it. And I find that's a lot of fun. And then I have a friend in Maine who's also ham, but he also does a Friday night Photoshop that he used to give at the public library in Portland, Maine. And now I'm able to attend it because he's been doing it on Zoom and learning a lot of great stuff about Photoshop. So I just been hanging out in Zoom and getting on the radio from time to time. And, of course, tracking your balloon as it goes around the world.
All right. Well, I notice it's 8:19 and it hadn't shown up yet. So any minute.
Close.
Any minute.
I'm gonna look at the sun angles here and see if it's high enough in that
region. I'm gonna say the balloon's gonna come alive at 23 minutes after the hour.
Well, let's take a lottery, okay, Katie? What do you think?
I got 23. What do you got, Katie?
I'm gonna vote for 26.
26, okay.
I'm pessimistic. It's not coming.
I'm gonna go for 30.
Who? Dave? Dave's going for 30. Okay.
Dwayne says.
No. Nice. Hey.
He's banned
the
room now.
Yeah, ban him on the room, chat room admins. Get him out of there. Bad.
I'll take 33.
33.
That was going to be my guess, but I'm going to have to go with 43 then.
43, yeah, Bill. Okay. And Glenn. Okay. Glenn has 33. Okay. I got in 23 minutes. I'm first here, so. I think it's
73. Oh, darn it, can't do that.
Let me tell you, I've predicted this thing down to the minute a number of times on the first or second revolution. I mean, I've done pretty good, you know. There's always that chance. There's always that chance it might not show up.
This time.
What was that, Glenn?
They really flew across the Atlantic this time. They got past all that stuff they've had trouble with in the past real quick this
year. Yeah, it did. While we're waiting on it, and if anybody sees it come up, and I'm kind of got my eye on it over here.
I've got it up over here.
You got it open? Okay. It crashed. Who was that? John said it crashed 73 minutes ago. All right, we got to ban KC7 DRI. We got to ban him just for 30 days. 30 days, that's all, okay?
Oh, poor John.
Okay. All right. We'll talk more about it in a little while. Hey, I want to talk a minute about 6 meters, and I'm no 6-meter expert or anything like that, but I just want to talk a little about 6 meters and give some encouragement to people out there that have never worked it or want to work it. 55 years ago, I was on 6-meter AM, and I loved it, you know, and it was such a great band. It's called the Miracle Band, and, you don't need much of an antenna to really talk to people anywhere really on it. I have a friend here in town this week told me that this week he worked 39 countries on 6 meters. Wow. This week. Now, he did say it was digital, so I can kind of understand that, because I have seen some digital signals in there where I don't hear talking. But anyway, so digital's cool. If, you know, the band is open. If you want to get on 6 meter digital, you can do that. But the band's starting to open up for voice.
Tom, what's that? A really good way to tell if the band is open or not is to tune below 50.100 in the CW beacon area. And if you're hearing any kind of CW beacons going on or CW contacts,
yeah.
But there are a ton of beacons. N0LL is a
There's a beacon here in Collierville that, I see.
So I always listen to the beacon band. And then if you go up frequency, I can't remember the frequency, but it's like 50.27 or something. The FT8 activity is really hot when the band is open. So you'll see a lot of digital mode. And of course, sideband above 50.100. Between 100 and 200, there's a lot of activity in sideband. But I always listen to the CW portion to see if the band's open. And 6 meters is one of my favorite bands. Years ago, I was on 6 meter FM and just had a ball talking to people all over the place on 6 meter FM as well.
That you know,
52.525.
Back 1964, boy, 6 meters was hot back then. I was on it. I had my dad was the volunteer fire chief in our little bitty town, and they actually had a fire drill at our house one night, and they actually put up a 6 meter beam for me. I homebrewed a little 3-element 6 meter beam out of some conduit. It was in the handbook, and stuck that thing up there and a little TV rotor, and it worked great. But you know what? You don't have to have a beam to work 6 meters. Now, a beam is great, especially if you work a lot of DX and pinpoint your signal and all that, but you don't have to have it. I mean, sometimes just a whip stuck in the back of your radio will talk anywhere in the U.S. or anywhere like that. But I've got some notes here I want to talk about, some 6 meter antennas and a couple I have used here. So, hey, here's a real simple one right here. That is just a couple pieces of PVC pipe stretched out in a little plus with a piece of wire. Just a single loop, a single full-wave loop. And I'm not so sure about the 4-to-1 there. That's not quite the right match, but also a 1-to-1 is also not the right match. I think the loop has 125 ohm, but either will work. What I've done here before is just rolled up some coax and made a dirty ballon right there. But look, you can take you I forget how long the wire is there for, but it's about 20 feet total here for a full wave loop. So, hey, just stretch it around a couple pieces of a PVC pipe, hook your coax to it, and tie your rope on it and pull it up under a tree out there. That'll get you on 6 meters. Now, hey, here's how you can put those pipes, PVC pipe, together. You can just go down to Lowe's or Home Depot and buy you an electrical box like this, where you can just glue you a few 3/4-inch PVC pipes in there. So that's one antenna you can use. Another one that I built, I don't have it anymore, but I used it for quite a while, is called a turnstile antenna. And this is what it looks like. It's basically two full-wave loops, but they're 90 degrees to each other. And it's real simple to make. There's not hardly any money in that. You have to make a little matching. See a little piece of coax at the bottom. I think that's RG. I don't have my notes in front of me. It's 125 ohm coax. It seemed like it's RG63 or something. I don't know. I can look it up. I should have had my notes with me. But that's just a 1/4-wave piece of coax that matches it there. And, this particular build here, they actually put three coax connectors there and screwed the matching on everything. I didn't do that. I just spliced everything together. Ran the coax up there, the feed line up there, and just spliced it all together. But, you know, a turnstile antenna is going to be a omnidirectional antenna. That's not it right there. Where is it? There we go. That's a turnstile antenna there, but that is a turnstile dipole. That's two dipoles 90 degrees apart. And whereas on this one, we use two full-wave loops 90 degrees apart. But again, it's real simple to build a matching stub right there. It's just a 90-degree phasing line.
That one right there is a circular polarized, and you have to switch the phasing loop the other side to get it the other direction to circularly polarized. But
all right, here's the connectors that they used for the phasing line and the feed line that goes in right there. Again, I didn't do that. I just spliced everything together. You know, another thing you can do is a coaxial dipole, and coaxial dipole basically is something like this. And here's an example of it just wrapped around a piece of PVC pipe. And let me give you a better picture of this. Here's one I threw together just yesterday in a shop. So I wound the ballon, and this is important. If you're gonna do it like this, you gotta do it this way. So here's my lead coming into it. I got a 13 turn ballon here. And then from the ballon up, you've got coax here that's approximately 50 inches long for 6 meters. And then from here, you've got another roughly 50 inches here that you've taken the shield off. So just, hey, cut this off right here, pull the shield off the top half. And this becomes the entire antenna, and you can hang this up vertically. You can put your little lug on here or something. Where you can put a little rope or string on here. You can pull this up under a tree limb out there. So that's it's a dipole basically, but this is a vertical coaxial dipole. So this is the bare center insulator here is half the antenna, and the other half the antenna is the outer shield of this coax, and it goes from here, it goes from there, the same length to here. And of course, this ballon basically is what cuts it off right there to make that last half that proper length. You know, we tried to build just a coaxial dipole here a while back where you just fold the, shielding back on top of the coax, and it becomes half your antenna and the other half is sticking up. But we didn't have very good luck with the match and everything. Another thing you can do, you could actually, instead of folding that shield back, you could actually get you some copper pipe or something, slide it over the coax and cut it the right length. But things like this are real simple to get on 2 meters with. They work, 6 meters with. They work really well. It doesn't take much of an antenna to make contacts there. Let's see if I got anything else here on the antennas. There's another picture of it. You can see the coax, the ballon, and then on the left side there, you can see where it's stripped back. That's actually the antenna there. Here's someone made one right here in a piece of PVC. You can see the ballon they wound, and they actually have the top part of the antenna inside that PVC. And that PVC will change the velocity factor a little bit, so you might have to cut and trim and test a little bit to get your match down. I was surprised the match on this one I built here yesterday. It came down about 1.1 at 50 ohms. It did really well. And here's one here. Well, this is the inside there. They tied some fishing line around the top piece and pulled it through the PVC pipe, and they just put the cap on there, and they have them a 6 meter antenna there. So, that's kind of what I want to talk about. Just just let people know that it doesn't take much of anything to get on 6 meters. And hey, I knocked this out in about 15 minutes in the shop. Didn't even have to buy anything. I had a piece of PVC pipe, and I always have coax laying around, so it was really real easy to knock out there. So, are you guys working any? I know Katie and Dwayne work a lot of six, but what about you, Dave? You been working any?
I had a friend in New Mexico who's one of my Augies, one of my patrons, who wanted to work me on 10 meter FT8. So I got on 10 meter FT8, and this was last night, or was last night or Sunday night, and 10 meter FT8 was open still at 9 p.m. And I was working people. I had my hex beam pointed toward where he lives in Alamogordo, and I was amazed. I was working. I'd call CQ and somebody to answer. I'd call another CQ, somebody to answer. Call CQ, somebody answer. I'm thinking, this is 10 meters. We're at the bottom of the sunspot cycle.
Yeah.
Something's going on here.
Well, you know, even though we're at the bottom of the sunspot, Dave, contacts are being made. If you just get on there and shout, even if the band's dead, get on there and make a call. You might get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. Let's do something here, guys. We'll be right back in just a moment, and we're going to talk about some other things. Let's see.
So
let's see. What time is it? Well, we're 33 minutes after, so Glenn, you lost. Dave, you lost. Katie lost. I lost. Bill says 43 minutes after. If it doesn't come up in 10 minutes, then Bill loses, so I'm watching
here. I still
here.
Got a few seconds yet. Don't throw me under the bus just yet.
33. My clock's got 33. I'll give you to 34. All right, we'll be right back.
Get out and be active with ICOM's new IC705 and its optional multifunction backpack. The IC705 is your perfect QRP companion, as you have base station features and functionality at the tip of your fingers in a portable package covering HF 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. This compact rig weighs in at just over 2 pounds with RF direct sampling for most of the HF bands and IF sampling for frequencies above 25 megahertz. It also has a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen with a live band scope and waterfall. It features 5 watts with the BP272 or 10 watts with 13.8 volts DC. You have single sideband CW, AM, FM, as well as full D-Star capabilities. It has a touchscreen display, micro USB connector, Bluetooth, and WLAN. It also has an integrated GPS with the antenna and with the GPS logger, a micro SD card slot. And it comes with the HM243 speaker microphone standard. The LC192 is a perfect accessory for the IC705, with a special compartment for your IC705 and room for accessories for soda, activations, or just a day in a park. Visit www.icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM radios.
All right, well, we're back. Glenn, I'm sorry. It's 35 after. Glenn, you did not win.
Okay, I'll admit it. I've lost now, but I wasn't going to give
win.
It up until it said 34.
That's right.
Yeah. So I don't know, Bill. We're coming up here. We fix to get you to jump in here, and we're going to talk a little about our balloon here, but we're going to see how good you are. You got 8 minutes to this thing to wake up.
Well, it's also in a very remote area, so it may be transmitting, but hard, you know, it's in the Kazakhstan area, and that's a tough region for reception, because there's not a lot of people around there.
We noticed that, I think, our first trip around. I thought
it's been difficult.
I thought the transmitter or the antenna fell off the first time we went around there. So we're in the stands. I've never really heard it called the stands until this flight, but we last track we were in Uzbekistan last night. Then there's Kyrgyzstan, and there's Tajikistan, and then Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, and Zakistan? Well, I don't know.
And then they keep changing the names on you.
There's right. There's a bunch of stands out there for sure.
Well, now the region you went over last night earlier was Crimea, which has been in the news over the years because Russia annexed that from Ukraine.
Yep.
And KK6BJ-11 was out in front of you, having bypassed those three big loops in the Pacific. He
right.
somehow managed to, he was one day behind you and ended up being 2 days ahead of you because he didn't encounter all those loopy area in the Pacific. And so he arrived 2 days ago over the Black Sea and was doing great. And all of a sudden, he started descending and landed in beautiful farmland there in Crimea, not far from a military, Russian military base.
Yeah, I was going to say,
wondering if maybe it had become target practice or something, because he had been around the world 2.5 times and was pretty much following along with your balloon during the last month or so. So,
well, he, I tell you what, he,
breed as you went over that area.
You know, he, I think he was a little worried that he actually said his balloon popped over the military base. Now, whether or not it landed on a military base, I don't know, but he was a little worried. He had his email, let's see, he had his email and his call sign on there when it went down this Russian military base, right?
My email's on it, too.
Oh, boy.
I haven't gotten any response from Putin yet, so...
I had somebody tell me, now I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody told me that a while back, this big black limousine drove up to the house and a bunch of Chinese guys got out and came up and knocked on the door. And he didn't answer the door, and they left. And he thinks it has something to do with flying over to China. Well, we'll see if you guys get. Hey, that'll be something we can report on the show. If you get contacted by the Russian military, we'd like a report on that. All right. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Man.
You do have to wonder. I mean, these things go over Korea and China.
True.
And, you know, all the stands. There's a lot of room for misunderstanding and misinterpretation of what's going
well,
on.
Well, Glenn, I don't know if Bill has looked far enough out, but the predicted path for mine is supposed to go over North Korea here in a few days.
KK6UUQ-9 was also flying around the world, and he was on his first lap. And he flew directly over North Korea, but the geofencing algorithm successfully stopped transmitting and came back on after it was over Korea, over North Korea. So you can actually see where it stopped and where it started up again.
Well, that's cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's cool.
This is an algorithm on board the balloon?
Yeah. It's a geofencing algorithm that looks at the position, and I draw boxes around keep out zones where I do not transmit, such as North Korea, because obviously I don't want to start World War III, and so it just doesn't transmit over there. If it sees that it's within that box I drew around North Korea, it just doesn't transmit.
So David, there's three places really they don't want you transmitting. I think that's Yemen, the UK, and North Korea.
Yeah, and it's surprising that the UK is one of those keep-out zones, but it's probably some law held over from World War II where you can't fly amateur radio equipment in a kite, hot air balloon, a private aircraft, anything that's airborne, even a drone or an RC plane. You can't fly it in Great Britain if it's an amateur radio. So they all have to use license-free UHF equipment, or that LORA, that's been very popular lately. but they usually run 10 milliwatts on a 70 centimeter band in the license-free section. And that's what they've been doing. And they've got an active program. They just can't use ham radio.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you've got 2 minutes. Let's while we're waiting here, let me pull up a screen here. There we go. So here's what we're looking at right here, guys. Right here, that time 13:30 right there. We're wanting to see that go active right there, and that's going to tell us that the balloon woke up. And then once it wakes up, it's going to probably take 10 minutes or so to get enough battery voltage to really start sending all the extra data. This will get us in a ballpark to a four-digit grid square, which is about 200 miles square. The second transmission we actually get will put us in about a 2 by 3 mile square box. So that gets us a lot closer to where we are. So if we look at HabHub, you can see on HabHub here, we are already in the daylight. And that is where we last got a transmission from, right there, right on the border of Uzbekistan, Stan. And we hope that it continues today. If we put our high split on it, just look at our predictions. I'm going to put the high predictions on. There's our predictions right there. So you can see with our predictions, we got a pretty straight shot across China. And then we take a little turn there. We need to go over North Korea right there, it looks like. And then we'll go over the top of Japan. And then here's what's starting to worry me. Here's what's worrying me right here, Bill. And let me turn the path on. Look at the path. Let's see if I can turn the path back on. I'm going to turn the path back on. There we go. All right. And let me turn the prediction back on. Here's what's starting to worry me a little. All right, let's go out here. You can see the two previous paths that we made. And you know, if you remember, we had a little dizziness problem out in the Pacific the last flight. You see those right there? That added about a week to our flight. But Bill, I look at this right here. This is starting to worry me right here a little bit.
Yeah, what's up with, what is that doing? Is that from like a wind current or something?
Those are predicted winds that we might be in. So I'm worried that, see the circle we made here on the second trip across? It looks like to me almost in the same spot. We're starting to see a little prediction of something going on right there. So I'm a little worried about that. But
there's a scientific name for that area. It's called the W5KUB entrapment.
Yeah, the entrapment.
Straight line.
So, and see, that's what happened to us last time, and Bill was talking about the other balloon. What, Bill, was it KK 6BK? Was that the balloon KK 6BK, I think?
Bill's muted.
Oh, Bill's muted. Yeah, so
yeah,
we got
it. Took a more northerly route.
Yeah, it went across the north.
If you bring up Windy TV, you can see the loops that it makes.
Yeah, so...
By the way, I did a solar angle prediction for the predicted area, and I was off by 10 minutes. It should show up about 54 past the hour.
Okay, all right. Well, hey, okay, everybody, since Bill, we're going to let Bill change. Everybody else can change. Anybody want to pick some times here? Bill, pick 54.
I'll take 55.
Okay.
I'll
57. Let's see, Bill, 54. I'm gonna come in sooner than that. I'm gonna come in 49. That's 3 minutes from now.
I'm gonna say six after the hour.
Six after. Well, that's possible. Okay. Okay, six after. Okay. And what do you got, Glenn?
57.
Okay.
Yeah. Are we doing the prices right here? If you're over, you lose.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, Chris, well, we're gonna watch.
Hey,
hey
Tom, you're piping in here. He says, if all the ants move to the left side of the vessel, then we should steer left.
that's true. That's true here. You know, I thought when they were in the Caribbean last time, they were going full right rudder for some reason. I don't know what was going on down here.
Well, they're trying their
darndest to get to Hawaii. Hawaii last time.
Yeah, they were trying their best to get to Hawaii. I think they're going to jump ship in Hawaii.
Bill.
Bill says
902. We got somebody in the chat room says it's going to come alive at 902. They must have a lot of confidence that it's going to come alive today, you know? This thing has been in the air now. This thing has been in the air for 40. it's been traveling for 43 days and 12 hours. And guys, there's not much to it to hang together up there. This is what it looks like. This is all that's flying up there, right there. A solar panel and a little tracker taped with some tape on the bottom side. That's what's flying right there. Probably the secret.
How many days has it been up now?
The what? How many days?
How many days?
Right there, the counter says 43 days, 12 hours, 9 minutes.
Considering the first eight didn't make it, 43 days is quite impressive.
Yeah, it is. So we bring it up. Bill wanted us to bring up Wendy. So we can take Wendy here. This is an interesting thing here. And we can take up Wendy. And it's kind of hard to see where I am. Let's see, where am I? Oh, there's South America right there. Sometimes, okay, there's Africa. So right now we're somewhere in this area here. Well, actually, I think when it wakes up, we're going to be over here.
Are these winds aloft at 40,000?
Now let's look at the winds at 44,000. Let's look at the, we're flying at about 42,000, 43,000. So let's put the winds at 43,000. Here we go. So here's the winds, and let's see, here's India. So we're up in here somewhere. If I click here, the wind there is 65 miles an hour. If we get over into the white, this is what I like flying in right here. You get over into the white, there are 111 miles an hour right there if you get into the white. So you can see the jet stream here. It's going to cross. And oh, hey, well, it's, you know,
doesn't look too bad.
It doesn't look bad. It looks like a pretty straight shot across there, you know. Let's look at, another thing I like on here is I like to look at cloud tops. So I can look at cloud tops and wherever they are, there they are. So I can look at cloud tops and our path, we're going right across, we're across here, so that's not bad. These clouds right here are only 26,000 feet. And so, you know, they're pretty good shape here. Now, if we were down here closer toward India or wherever, there's India. There's always got some high stuff down here. Here's a 43,000 foot cloud right there. I don't think we'd want to fly in that. Let's look at thunderstorms real quick. See if we've got any thunderstorms in the way that we're going. Where's thunderstorms? Right there. So there's thunderstorms. And again, we're in this area.
You're over a bad one there, just north of India. You're kind of
right there,
a little farther south than that. You're down around that, but you're just north of that. I think you're okay.
Well, yeah, we're north. We're up here, I think. We're somewhat north here, so I think we got a pretty good shot across here. Yeah, and you know, another neat here deal here, and Glenn's got one of those Arduino projects that detects lightning, but you can click here on weather radar, and this is cool. This thing will it'll show you. I don't see much activity there. It'll show you lightning strikes. Watch this. It might take it a second here to load up, but every lightning strike is going to start popping on the screen here. Well, maybe there's no lightning right now.
You know, that's the next step, is to put some serious telemetry
on
this thing.
All right, so let me go back to see if the balloon is... man, we still hadn't come alive yet. And let's see, what did I have? I had 49. Yeah, well, I missed it. I missed it again. Bill, you said 54. You got three more minutes here. We had we had some people in the chat room. Bill says 902 in the chat room.
Another Bill says 859.
All right, 859. We're going to see it. I guarantee you, it's going to come up in just a minute. And it's exciting to see that happen.
You know, one thing about this, we have all brushed up on our meteorology and jet stream and winds and all that stuff over this.
Doug's KG5QIA isn't being too positive here. He says 7 a.m.
7 a.m.?
That's about as bad as Dwayne saying not at all. So he said after the show. So.
Well, look, hey, it could be 7 a.m. local time because they're about 11 hours ahead of us there. So.
Well,
it's about
true.
Well, it's 7:52 there now, so we'll be an hour late. All right.
Yeah, just like it's 4 p.m. somewhere in the world.
That's right.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. So Bill has got. Bill, you've got two more minutes. All right. So, everybody, stand by. We'll be right back in less than 2 minutes here.
LDG Electronics provides state-of-the-art antenna tuners for every amateur need. From QRP to QRO, fixed stations, portable, and remote, an LDG tuner will match your radio to your antenna using our lightning-fast proprietary tuning algorithms. LDG is a family-owned and operated company dedicated to bringing innovative, quality products to the amateur market. All LDG products carry a full 2-year warranty that is fully transferable. Support is only a phone call or email away. We're always here to help you. Visit us on the web at ldgelectronics.com.
All right, we're back. Hey guys, we're back. We're back. All right, what were we gonna say?
Oh, she was talking about the association song Windy.
Yeah.
It was written about a girl named Wendy that they knew, and I actually met her.
Did you?
Oh, no kidding.
So, yeah, it was about a real person.
That's cool.
Oh, that's wild.
That's cool there. Okay. All right. My clock's got 54 here.
Not 58. On the first transmission. We'll have to wait 2 minutes for the next.
Yeah.
See if anything comes in.
Don't we have to wait?
How does the thing carry a timer that carries through, or does it just everything starts over when it gets power?
It's it gets its time from the GPS receiver that's on board, and then uses timing loops to do the transmission. There's delays, timing routines in the code to send the precise amount of time for each character in the whisper transmission.
So, Dave, it'll let's see. What are we on this one, Bill? Zero minute, zero and two.
Transmit on the 0 minute and 2 minute time hacks.
Yeah.
But it takes a minute and 50 some seconds.
Yeah.
For each transmission, so you really don't get the result until. So, if it transmits at the zero mark. At say 0150.
I hear sparks.
You won't hear it. You won't get a result until 0153.
Yeah.
The next one will be showing up any second now to see if we picked up the telemetry call. It'll be a Q call sign, and it should be in 3 seconds. I'm monitoring my Python
now,
extraction.
Now, we're in an area of the world where it's not very well picked up on Whisper, and a lot of times Bill will, and I've tuned in also on remote SDR receivers in that region to try to pick it up and get the data. Well, this is kind of exciting and kind of scary, Bill. I mean, it's not there yet. Should I start getting
it? It's right at the point where it normally starts up. It's right at the sun angle where it normally starts up right now.
Yep.
So and keep in mind that we're in a very remote area. It may take a while before somebody picks it up.
So,
I may have to go and check out the web SDRs in the region and try and pick one up from Siberia.
All right. So right now, my clock on the computer says 900. So it started up another transmission at 00. But Whisper is so slow, it takes 2 minutes to transmit. So we probably won't see anything here to about, 3 minutes after?
Your clock is way off.
Right. 3 minutes after nine, you'll see the next attempt.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have pretty good confidence that it's going to show up, but.
Yeah, but like I say, it's pretty remote, so it may be a while before they pick it up. Like I say, I usually go to Siberia or New Delhi, India, and listen on their remote web SDRs. I mean, it's SDR, used to be SDR.hu, but that site went away. The radios are still there. It's Kiwi SDRs mostly on the one site, but I do have a link that allows you to see them all.
So let me just, people are talking about it in the chat room. This thing is timed with the GPS. First transmission is at minute 00 or right. 10 or 10 or 20 or 30 or 40, every 10 minutes. Right. And then there's a second transmission at 02, like 02 and 12 and 24 and 34. So the first transmission, Bill, you want to explain the first transmission, what it contains, and the second one, what it contains, and how you put them together?
The first one is W5KUB, a four-digit grid square, and a two-digit value indicating the course altitude in 1,000-meter increments. So if it says 00 dB power, which is 1 milliwatt, it'll be 0 dB. That's zero altitude. And then the next power level up, it correlates to 1,000 meters. That's only the first transmission. You're only getting course altitude out of the first transmission. The next one begins with a Q, and in your case it's Q7 is the it's a way we can make channels for multiple whisper balloons on the same in the same band, so that we know which telemetry call sign belongs to the actual call sign. So we have a method of assigning channel numbers to different hams to try and make sure that there's no conflict.
So my understanding,
the first letter after the Q is a combination of temperature and satellite status, but in your case, it is just strictly the number of satellites that you receive. So if it says A, there's zero satellites. If it's M, that's 12 satellites. And if it was B, it'd be one satellite, for example. Then the letter after the number, the first letter, is the actual voltage of the solar panel, starting at 3.3 volts. And going up by 0.1 volts up the alphabet. So A would be 3.3 volts, B would be 3.4, and so on. And then the last two characters of that transmission, of that call sign, are the fifth and sixth grid square values. So that way we can combine that with your four digit that normally is transmitted, your four character grid square. Now you have a six digit grid square, which gives you a much finer resolution of position of 2 by 3 miles or so. And then finally, the power level on that second transmission, the telemetry call one, is the course altitude in 60 meter increments, which I add to the fine altitude, and I add that to the course altitude from the first one.
So guys,
I have a Python program that I've got running here that grabs the data from whispernet.org's database, because just like APRS, the Whisper receive programs send everybody's report to a central database on whispernet.org. And so I grab that data, decode it, and then reformat it into APRS format and send it directly to the APRS servers, which is all done automatically in my Whisper program, which I'm monitoring right now to see if I see anything coming in. So that's how it's done, and that's how you get an APRS report on a map from a Whisper balloon.
And that's it in a nutshell.
Took the words out of my mouth.
You know, here we are live, and we're expecting it to pop up here live, and it's not going to do it. You know that. So anyway, so Oh, well.
Pot never transmits.
No. Well, you know, we'll see how it goes. Man. All right. Well, quite a few people have lost. It's 9:01. Bill had 9:02. So he's going to lose here in just a minute. Actually,
well,
no, it's 9:05.
Transmission.
It's 9:05.
You won't get the date until 9:03.
Right. Right. Well, we can kind of back it up, and you know, we know when it was transmitted, so we'll know if he actually picked the right time or not. Okay, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens there.
And well, it looks like you're on track for a nice fast trip across to China and North Korea. I think you'll be going over 100 miles an hour. And on across the Pacific at a pretty high speed.
I was looking, and how long would it take us to get across? If we're on a border, the west border of China, how long would it take us to clear China? Maybe a day and a half?
It's going to be about a 3-day trip this time.
3 days?
Maybe. Yeah,
that's not fast
days.
For me. I wanted, the ants need to pedal faster. I was hoping more like a day and a half, you know.
It's a big ocean.
And I'm talking about China only now, China.
Oh, to get across China?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll be zipping across China pretty quick today. You'll be in East China probably by sunset, their sunset.
Yeah, okay. Maybe a day to get across China. Yeah.
Right.
All right. I mean, and then, boy, I tell you, I studied the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean in school and everything, but this has kind of made me realize that the Pacific Ocean is a pretty big ocean. I mean, it's a long ways across there.
One thing I've noticed, Tom, is that kids who, when these are launched for a school program, they start learning about geography, which is a subject that is lacking in many schools. I've seen stories about students in Massachusetts that can't name the surrounding states or even identify their state on a map.
Oh, man.
And the same here in Alabama. They can't, if you show them just the southeast with no labels on it, they can't even label Alabama, let alone Mississippi.
Yeah.
So this is a great way of learning about different cultures and geography in addition to
it's teaching me a lot, you know. It's helping me. I mean, I didn't know there were so many stands out there, man. Yeah.
You know? They change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That region, yeah. The borders keep getting redrawn.
Well, that's right. The thing for me is you look at Africa and South Asia, and I don't recognize any of those countries from when I took geography.
Yeah.
All changed.
Well, even some of Eastern Europe, I mean, Czechoslovakia is split in half.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, let me
and Yugoslavia. Look at Yugoslavia. You got Slovenia.
Oh, good grief. It's like somebody took a Yugoslav pie and threw it against a wall.
Well, let me ask you this. When this thing is on 20 meters, since we're in a kind of a dead spot for 20, don't we kind of have to wait for 20 to open up a little bit to maybe get a hop or two to get up, pick up the data?
And that's when you're over this region, it does take a while. So it's probably transmitting now. It's just not being heard.
Oh, we got it. Hey, there it is. There it is. There it is.
On the SDR radio receivers.
There it is. It just popped in, man. It just showed up.
Katie, you had six after. You're a minute off.
It just came in at 0200. It came alive, so...
Very cool.
Who had that? Anybody close
Katie,
to that?
You did it.
Woohoo! Hey, I win absolutely nothing.
I'm complete tonight.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's get technical here. Wait a minute. Let's get technical. Even though the time now is like it was 9:09, it actually transmitted to Whisper at 9:00. We just now showed it, but it was at 9 o'clock central, or it was 0200. So I'm not sure Katie won.
Is it just me, or is Tom's clock about 3 minutes off?
I think Tom's
just off.
he's got a rat in his room. No, a weasel. He's got a weasel in there.
Yeah. So here, see, here's, if we look at this right there, you can see the first transmission right here was 0200. First one for today.
Received by RX-9O in Siberia at close to 800 miles away.
And hey, only one person picked it up. So you can see it. It wasn't doing real great. Let's go to. Let's look at the map there and see what.
Noise ratio -22.
Yeah, let's look at the map here. And well, let's see. I got to go to. Go to the last. I don't know. Let's see. Let me go back to the right bay end. And we'll go to here, and then we'll go to the last 1 hour. We'll go to last 30
he
minutes. 30
up
minutes.
The Q call too at -16, so it's improving.
All right, so you can see right here, not many were picking it up.
That station. He picked up. He was the only one that picked up the Q call on he picked that. Well, wait a minute. I take that back. The first transmission.
Did he get both?
Was at 8:52.
What?
Wow.
8:52.
It showed up on my Python.
Keeping track. Who did 8:52?
8:52. 52. Where did 52? I had 49. I said 52.
I think that was me. There's the queue call at 8:52.
So
received by that same station in Siberia.
All right, but now we haven't got a good APRS update yet, right?
They didn't occur at the same time.
Okay.
The queue call and the regular call has to occur within the same 10-minute window I send an APRS report.
All right, so we won't get a good balloon position here until we get another transmission, probably on the next one.
But it's where November 0 and there's a really cool program that I use on QRZ.com. It's called Grid Mapper. So if you QRZ.com/Grid Mapper, you can enter a grid square
right.
and see if there's any hams in your neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
And which is pretty neat. There weren't going to be any hams in this neighborhood at NM02, but I can bring it up here in a minute.
So, NM02, let me see where that is exactly. It's going to be a pretty wide area.
Well, I can tell you exactly where it is. It's NM02 DI. Let me bring that back.
What was it, RN02?
Nancy.
November 02. And it's TI. Right.
Yeah, I'm just pulling it up here. Yeah, let's see. NO2. NN02.
Yeah, TI.
The what? Typo?
It's NN02TI.
You got the six digit.
Right, right.
Okay, NN02, what was it?
TI. Right.
Okay. All right.
And it's November.
What did I put in there? NN, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So,
It's not going to be much there.
Well, so we're inside of China. There's the border.
Probably Mongolia.
Aren't we? I think the Chinese argue that Mongolia is part of them, don't they?
No, it's a separate country.
I thought they're still kind of fighting over that.
No, they're fighting over you're fighting India right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's see. Okay, so we're about maybe. I don't know, maybe a fourth of the way in. Fourth of the way in, it looks like. Let's see if it's on we haven't updated our Python hadn't updated our APRS yet.
No, because it hasn't occurred at the same time.
Yep. All right, so it'll maybe the next one we'll get that.
But like I say, if you go to QRZ.com, Google.com and enter grid mapper, and put your 6-digit grid square in and hit set.
Yep.
It'll show all the hams in your particular 2x3 mile area.
Is this QRZ.com?
Yeah, it's QRZ.com/grid mapper.
Well, I've gone on QRZ and I've used a zip code, and you know, find out how many hams are in your zip code. There's like thousands, man. But I haven't done what Bill has said yet. We use the grid square, the 6-digit grid square. All right. Well, we're waiting. I'd like to really
Bill,
see it here, but
in our zip code.
It looks like we have we've made it into China.
There's three in my grid square. Who are these other people?
Well, you got to go out and look for antennas.
So you're just east of Kyrgyzstan in extreme western China.
Where? When you say what? Kyrgyzstan?
Kyrgyzstan?
Tajikistan.
Tajikistan.
Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan.
I don't even know.
All right, Dwayne says it's...
Okay, let me just pull up Kyrgyzstan here. Let's just see. Kyrgyzstan.
All right.
So that's it right there. Kyrgyzstan. We're east of there. Well, we might not quite... Well...
You're in China. Okay. I believe that's actually Kyrgyzstan.
Oh, that sounds right.
Yeah, I don't know.
One of those stands.
Yeah.
But
anyways, you're just east of that in the extreme western China.
Yeah. All right. So
bandstand. David says bandstand.
I'd like to see one good update on here that we still hadn't done it.
I haven't seen anything in the same 10-minute window.
I'm waiting for the good update to come in and give me a good plot there. And another thing I really like Let me bring it up here and show you.
Oh my gosh! Greg on here, KO6TH says, Topeka.
And I've been to Topeka before.
Don't forget American Bandstand.
Yeah. You know the the prediction here says, you know, if you look at where we went to sleep. This is where I went to sleep last night, right here. And if you click over here on one of these dots. If you click on the dot, it's going to tell you that it's going to take you 30 hours to get from here to that dot right there. So that's kind of neat. You can kind of, right there, it's going to take 28 hours to get there. So that's kind of neat. It's pretty accurate, actually.
Yeah, so in other words, flying over China is kind of like driving across Texas. It takes forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we're going to make it across China pretty quick if it don't get shot down. Yeah. All right. Well, that's enough balloon talk right now. We'll wait until we get another update here in a minute on APRS, and then I'll feel real happy. I'll see exactly where it is.
We've only talked about it for an hour.
Yeah. We'll see what the altitude. I want to see the altitude, make sure it's hanging in there good, and then I can turn it off until tomorrow, and I'll check again tomorrow.
Well, hopefully, after field day, I'll have some more stuff to show off.
Okay, yeah. We need to get some of your projects in here and talk about it. Now, are you going to talk about any of them that's in your new book?
Probably. Hang on.
Oh, he's left us.
And there goes the cat.
Yep. Yep.
Pew, pew. So this weekend is field day, and obviously there's been a lot of people are maybe not doing it the usual way, but we're still got it. I actually call one of our compatriots for field day, and we're doing it in our usual spot, although I'm not sure how much. I've been convincing Dwayne to simplify a lot this year, but I just had to travel and was on an airplane that was packed.
Uh-oh.
Literally, like, no seats, open. And so I'm a little concerned. I don't want to make sure I don't give anybody anything, but I wore my mask and used lots of hand sanitizer to wash my hands, but I'm hoping, obviously hoping that I'm healthy. And but we're going to just do the 2-alpha in the old schoolhouse that we've usually done that. And so it should be interesting, but I know a lot of people are just going to work from home. And if they're part of a club, they're going to be operating, you know, doing all those different remote stations. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what this year turns out to be.
We're looking to do
there you
6
are.
Alpha at the Park Pavilion. Yeah, I'm back and the cat's back too. One of the things, this has been one of my little projects, and hopefully I'm going to do something on QST about it. We got
good grief.
PVC tube here. Inside here is a complete 2-liter 440 aero antenna, all sealed up, and it's literally shock-proof, damage-proof, waterproof, the whole 9 yards with a carrying strap. And I've done the same thing with my, I've got a little portable 20-meter beam that fits in a 4-foot version of this.
Wow. Does that take some time to put together, a 20-meter beam?
Yeah, it's a 2-element 20-meter beam that, it's a JDR, one of the local vendors that works with MFJ, has actually designed and put it together. It actually is, it uses 4 of the MFJ 20 meter sticks with a boom.
Okay. I got you.
And it collapses into a really nice 2-element 20 meter beam.
Yeah.
It fits in a 4-foot version of this. I also have my 5 BTV, which we've used for the GOTA station. And that's in an 8-foot version of this, so it's all collapsed, so when I need to grab an antenna, it's literally grab it, throw it in the car and go, and all the pieces are there and it's not going to be damaged or anything like that. And that's what I've been building this week.
That looks like something that a Navy ship would fire.
Well, yeah, if you get really, you know, if you get in my face or really get me mad, all I got to do is take this off, load it with gunpowder, you know, and just kind of
get your own cannon.
Yeah. Aim it in your general direction, and off you go.
Or you could hook up like those glitter bombs, like Mark's done in those videos.
Oh. Poof.
All right, guys, I'm going to sign out of here because we need to go do some stuff for field day.
All right, Katie. Thanks for being with us tonight. We enjoyed it.
Everybody stay safe and healthy and happy and all that good stuff. And don't forget, 1730 UTC. I'll be on YouTube and Facebook doing my Shack Chat. Hope you can join in. And otherwise, see you all next week.
All right. See you.
Take care.
Good night.
All right, you too. Bye, guys.
All right. Dave. Dave. Come on, Dave. There we go.
Yeah,
Dave, are you going to go out and do any field day this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Here in Colorado, we're one of the few states where the number of COVID-19 cases is dropping rapidly, although they seem to have leveled off, but kind of at a low level. Last I heard, there was nobody in the Montrose Memorial Hospital with it. But we're going to go to our usual spot. I've decided to take the travel trailer up there to have a place to stay the night, and that'll be a first for us. We haven't had the trailer out since Quartz Fest. We had all these things we were going to go to, like Dayton and all this other stuff, and couldn't do it. But they'll be having it out there with some social distancing. The only people allowed in the operations trailer at any time are the person operating and the logger. And then we'll have a central gathering area like we usually do. We won't have the catered dinner like we usually have. So it'll be simpler. And then, of course, people will operate from home and want to add their support to the club score. I know N3FJP has updated its field day software so that it allows 1D stations to work, or their 1D stations, and also attribute the score to a club. So it's going to be a very interesting field day. I hope there's lots of people out there. It'll be a little bit lower key than we usually do. So all right. Coming up,
well, they,
I'm looking forward to it. Field day is my favorite amateur radio event of the whole year. I know it's not as exciting as getting a signal from a balloon over China.
I like the QSO party, the Mississippi QSO well, party, because you're the target and you're the pile up.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I hear that I haven't even looked at the directions or, you know, the instructions for field day, but I understand they've changed them a lot this year because they're allowing people to work from home now with AC power because of the virus.
Well, that's always been One Delta, but One Delta stations have never been able to work each other for credit.
Yeah.
On field day. This year they can.
Yeah.
Now, if I operate from home, it'll be One Echo because I've got solar power for the ham station here.
Okay. Well, that'd be
and
cool.
And one thing for all the logging program users, particularly N3FJP, you need to be sure and get the latest update because that includes the new zone, Prince Edward Island, I believe is what it is.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's going to throw me off because I'm so used to those Canadian territories. And now I got a new one.
Yeah, there's not much to Prince Edward Island.
Well, normally at 2 a.m. my brain doesn't process letters and numbers real good.
You know, when my daughter was younger, we had a organization called Bark Junior. It was the Boulder Amateur Radio Club Junior Division. We had quite a kids program that went for about 20 years total till the principals both died. But my daughter, when she was 11, 12 years old, would operate. The kids put their own field day together. And her favorite time to operate was the mid-shift. And she'd get on and they'd make their contacts and then she'd just jabber with people for the longest time because there just weren't that many people on until somebody else came on. But she loved field day every year because she got to stay up over not all night.
Yeah, I'm normally in 20 or, you know, when 20 dies, I'll go over to 40. And typically, for whatever reason, I'm the one that gets the sun up until field day ends shift because I keep begging for relief and everybody's having breakfast and coffee. And they're like, yeah, we'll get there in a few. Keep going. You're doing good.
Yeah, what they've done at our In our past, we do field day more score, although a couple people really want us to score well. It's real easy to be number one in Colorado. There aren't that many large field day efforts. But they'll shut the generator off when it's time for dinner. So people can't operate. They've got to come to dinner. The club usually buys several pounds of brisket. And people bring all kinds of stuff. The dinner is a big, hairy deal. So that's when everybody comes up. That's when all the hams who only come to field day for dinner show up.
So, hey,
this is how many people we had.
Let me ask Glenn. Glenn, what time is the food going to be ready down at your place?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, it all depends. I mean, we got some really good barbecuers in the club, and I don't know if they're going to bring anything or who knows what. I'm on a special diet, so they can bring whatever they want to, and I have to bring my own.
Okay.
So,
are you on a liquid-only diet, martinis, beer, that sort of thing?
I'm on the cardiac, heart-healthy, cardboard-only diet.
Oh, golly.
Yeah. I've actually found foods that I can eat that fit the bill, but it's nowhere near as fun. I mean, when you're having that ice cream there, I'm drooling because I have to go look for low-carb ice cream.
Well, that's what this was.
Ah, okay.
It was. I threw it away already. We get the low-fat stuff. I was on a good diet. I was losing weight. And then when the COVID-19 thing hit, that all went out the window.
Oh, yeah. I've been real lucky. I've been able to hold the weight down. But like I say, I had the triple bypass last fall. Mm-hmm. And one thing that came out of all of that, I am never, ever, ever going to voluntarily go through any of that ever again. And I will do whatever it takes to never have to do that again.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. One of the things that they tell you in that bypass operation is that you have to bypass the refrigerator from now on.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I mean, I just, you know, let's see. The list of things I've got is so long that the refrigerator is becoming an afterthought.
Mm.
You know, it's got to be low carb, low sugar, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, basically, if it's a vice, I can't do it anymore. So.
Well, it must make you feel very, very proud of yourself, right?
Well, you know, I'm, you know, compared to where I was and what was going on, and when you realize that I was basically a walking heart attack, compared to where I'm at now, which is the cardiologist doesn't want to see me anymore. The surgeon's done with me. They're like, we'll see you in about 10 years. Go away. You know, so. Good.
Well, you look like you're doing a whole lot better there than you.
Yeah, you look like you're doing good. You got to get all new clothes, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is I've lost a total of 80 pounds in the last
Congratulations. Few years.
And they want me to lose more. And, yeah, I went from, you know, double X and triple X shirts, and now I'm down to larges and everything in my wardrobe, you know.
Hey,
it's
man.
Like
well, hey,
the
hey.
Opposite end.
Hey, will the Bazinga shirt still fit you now?
It actually fits better. Yes, I almost wore it tonight.
All right.
I'll wear it next week.
All right.
But, I mean, things I haven't been able to wear in 20 years that I actually kept, I can wear again. Mm-hmm. You know, basically, I'm down to my high school, you know, 20-year-old weight.
I bet it's in different places, though.
Still, yeah.
All right, Bill. Bill Brown, you still there?
Yeah.
Bill, you there?
He's got it muted again.
He's there.
You're muted.
He's just grinning.
Well, Bill, let me tell you, man. We're in the stands, and you can tell. Look at those updates there. Only a single update here the last three times.
Right.
What are we going to have to do, man? Are you gonna try a remote receiver later?
I'll try that in a little bit. I'm going to try and that the only receiver, the station that's only picking you up is in Siberia.
Yeah.
I'm going to hop around to a few different remote radios and see if I can get a better signal on it.
Yeah. Well, you know, next flight, we're just going to put like a 10-watt transmitter up there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, what you need to do is, you know, get yourself down to 40 meters or something with some better propagation into some other stations.
Well, this thing's doing 9,000 miles several times a day. It'll do 9,000 miles.
The optimal band, I've tried different bands. The optimal band is 20 meters.
Yeah.
For two reasons. Propagation is always reasonably good on 20. And there are more stations monitoring 20 than the other bands, except for 30 meters. There's quite a bit of people in 30 meters. The problem is the propagation during the daytime at 30 meters is shorter than 20. And that band shines. If we had a nighttime mission, 30 meters would be the place to go at night because they have worldwide coverage on 30 meters at night. Of course, your antenna now is 50 feet long instead of 34 feet long.
Right.
Yeah.
We've thought about doing 10 meters and 15 meters, but it might be good that pretty spots to be fairly localized on 10 meters. If it was during a sunspot maximum, absolutely 10 meters and 15 meters would be the way to go.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Not in a sunspot low.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll be out of this area soon and back into some good coverage, because it seemed like we had really good coverage all the way across the Pacific.
And across Europe, had great great coverage across Europe, too. Your signal levels look back to normal.
Well,
you did. You had great coverage in the Pacific this time.
You know, I see people copying this thing 9,000 miles away in Australia and places like that and all over Europe. But then we get into this Stan part of the world, and nobody copies it. It's like the sand there sucking up the signal or something, man. I don't know what's going on. But you know what? That's a very wide part of the world, too. I mean, it's 2,000 miles from there to nowhere, actually, out there.
There's not much there.
Yeah.
Pretty much describes where I live.
Yeah.
I just looked. There's actually 14 hams in my grid square.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that when I first found that. They show everybody within your little six digits grid square, and it's really fascinating to see who all your neighbors are that are hams.
I'd be willing to bet that most of them are members of one of the local clubs that I already know.
Could be.
When I first bought this property up here and moved in, I didn't see the ham radio antenna across the street until later. And he had moved here for the same reason I did. We're on top of a mountain, and it's a great RF location. It's like having a 500-foot tower, because we're 500 foot above average terrain, and It really makes a difference. I could work you in Memphis at 220 miles any time of the day or night on 2-meter sideband.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I used to live just north of Birmingham. And I was near the top of a mountain as well. I dearly loved that place. Hated to have to move.
So you live in Birmingham.
My antenna tower is only 10 feet tall. It's on a tripod with all my antennas on it, because I'm right on the edge of a 500-foot cliff. So it works great. It works just exactly like I had a 500-foot tower. Plus, I can work on the antennas easy with the ladder.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we're getting close to the end here. We probably need to get off in a minute. But I was waiting for one more update. I'm waiting for the 30-minute mark here.
Oh, here we go. We're into this. Just one more.
Yeah, and we'll already be getting the 30-minute.
We might get. We'll know in a minute whether I get 1 minute. We'll know if I get two reports in the same 10-minute window, and then we'll finally have a APRS update.
I mean, Dave, I'm sure you've been there with one of your videos or a project, and just one more test, one more solder joint, one more resistor. You know, 5 hours later, you realize you're going to be late for work because it starts in 10 minutes.
Yeah, when I get into editing a video, I lose track of time.
Yes.
Now, why didn't it switch to Dave when he talked that time? Dave, we didn't see you.
Oh, who knows?
Yeah.
There it did.
Yeah, there you there. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be traveling during field day, but probably be up in Ohio. They generally go out in the woods near my dad's farm, so I might get a chance to participate in field day a little bit there. But generally, what they've been doing here, some of the hams come up to my neighbor's house, who is a ham, WB4BHF is his call, and he's very active on 6 meters. And they pitch a tent. They have a big cookout, and a lot of the local hams just hold field day right in his backyard, because we have a great... Hey, we got two reports from Siberia in the same 10-minute window. We're going to have an APRS position report update here in about a minute.
So, that's what I'm looking for. I'm waiting to see on the map where it's going to plot it.
Yeah. But anyways, we always have a good time on field day. It's going to be a little different this year. Almost always... Yeah, we get a horrendous thunderstorm right after we put up all the antennas.
Yeah. Yes.
It's sort of required.
It's without fail.
Yeah, that lightning detector really came into good use about, 4 or 5 field days ago.
Yeah, we need to get one of those, Glenn.
It's in my book. Build it.
Really. All right, we got the update.
We got the update on
APRS. Let's look and see where it says we are. We're only traveling 98 miles an hour. We slowed down a little bit. Let's see where we are here.
You're also down to 41,000 feet.
Yeah, 41,500. So I don't know. I would have hoped we'd been further into China by the end, but.
Is the heat of the day comes in, does that heat up the hydrogen just a little bit to get some more altitude?
A little bit, but primarily it's due to the highs and lows. So it's flying normally. It's just in a higher or low pressure area, and that changes your ground. It's just exactly the same effect when aircraft pilots have to adjust their altimeter pressure for the local pressure. So it can vary plus or minus 1,500 feet just due to atmospheric pressure, highs and lows.
So,
there
Bill,
you go.
I've got one question.
China.
I got one question.
It looks like it's tracking the prediction.
Why is my prediction not starting at the balloon? It started way back here.
Because they only update the predictions every every so often.
So that's about from the start to there is, it looks like 12 or 13 hours. So
right.
I'll have to subtract that from this end. So North Korea, it says... 43 hours, so we subtract 13.
So you'll be going over North Korea tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, so we'll clear China tomorrow. That's good. And then it's just a short skip across the ocean, man.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the dip. The prediction has changed a little bit out there.
Get into a little loop there.
Yeah.
It looks like the Loch Ness Monster, your prediction.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's your python.
I don't know. Well.
Yeah, that looks like Nessie right there.
Yeah, it does. Okay, guys, well, look, we're going to get out of here. I haven't had dinner yet. Not sure what I want, but y'all have talked about brisket and all kinds of stuff. I need to go find some. I'm getting ice cream.
Butter sandwich time.
We don't have any more ice cream. I ate all my ice cream today, so I can go find something else. I was going to play tonight before the show. Probably a lot of guys are left. This is astronaut Doug Wheelock here. I'm going to put him on here for a second. And let's see. This is kind of cool.
My name is Doug Wheelock. In my spare time on the space station, I stay connected to planet Earth. Hi, I'm Doug Wheelock. In my spare time on the space station, I stay connected to planet Earth through the ham radio. Through amateur radio, I tune in to ZFU5KUB. Hi, I'm Doug Wheelock. And in my spare time on the space station, I stay connected to planet Earth. By listening to amateur radio, I tune in to... Why do I say turn into? Hi, I'm Doug Wheelock. In my spare time on the space station,
Did you mess up again?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Doug Wheelock. In my spare time on the space station, I stay connected to the planet by tuning in to W5KUB.com.
I think you finally got it there. All right, guys. Good night to everybody. We'll see you next week. Dave, thanks, man, for being here, and Glenn and everybody.
We'll see you next week.
All right. Let me end the show, and Bill, I'll stick around just for a second in case there's something we want to talk about. So we'll see you guys. Thanks, everybody, for watching. See you next week. Goodbye.